This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
I hear something saying,
the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long they're saying,
chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down, working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them moaning their lives away, then you hear somebody say,
that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
Can't you hear them saying, I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home, see my woman whom I love so dear. But meanwhile, to work right here.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long they're saying, my work is so hard. Give me water.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We are sitting here, another beautiful day, and all that I can say is that we're going to pick up on a subject that we talked about last week, as I told you, and that is, the first one is the Kaneohe Bay area and the military and the noise and the activities over there. And I couldn't get any response from the PIO office or what have you. We don't show up on their radar, I guess, but that's okay, too. We're family. And I did spend some time over there listening, and later on I will play a tape and show you what people are having to endure there with this bantering about and back and forth. And what I find to be quite curious, everyone say, well, we're going to go to see Danny Noy, we're going to see Hirano, when in fact the buck should stop there. What I heard the other night in listening, and I've heard it before, but the noise, I live over in Mililani side, and when the helicopters stray too close, and especially at nighttime, it's a rude awakening. And it makes you feel helpless and useless in that you don't know who to call. You call anyone, and they give you this long story. We're going to meet with them. We're going to have a lunch with them. And then you, the homeowner, still stuck in the same predicament with the noise, and the sad part about it, instead of diminishing it, they are increasing, and that's what's going over on Kaneohe. And for those of you that would like to call up 524-1080 and tell me that it's all about protecting the troops, I agree with you. But we can do two things at once. Protect the people's interests, the value, the quality of life, and also train the troops. And I've not seen it not happen, so let's see if we can work through this. 524-1080 is the number. And also go to Carol Cox at carolcox.com, and we'll post some things up there, interesting things. And as I say, later on, I'll play a tape or CD that I actually went over and filmed and videotaped. And there are some issues. You know, there was a debate last time we talked that the denial that the planes were actually coming over the homes. Well, I personally witnessed the planes come over the home and actually videotaped one. And it was a low day, that, wouldn't you say?
Yes. That was actually a very low day.
Yeah. So anyway, as you know, I have guests in the studio. And because, again, we're dealing with government, let's not kid ourselves. They'll retaliate, and I don't know why. I mean, they're all there working together. But if one speaks up and say that you're hurting me, the others think that they need to rally around, circle around, and beat the living snot out of the person physically or financially. So for the sake of anonymity and protection, we're just not going to disclose who's sitting here, but just be reminded, I will never lie to you. So that's the bottom line. Good morning, and you're back. What were you bringing to us today?
Well, you know, one of the callers last week had brought to the fact that, you know, let's make this about the kids and the noise level at the schools and stuff. So I'd like to address the the noise level for the kids first, if we could, Carol. Now, I have a little chart here that says, you know, with the sound of the decibels that we hear. And the scale goes from the hearing threshold, and it's for young males. And it says quiet recording studio is like 10 decibels. Ambient outside noise in the wilderness, like about 15. A whisper, average residence, is about 40. Now, I think last week we talked about what HUD said it was, and I believe I heard 55 decibels.
Mm-hmm.
So this scale is pretty accurate then, and says a quiet conversation is like 50. Then you get up to a typewriter, you're going 60. Then you go heavy traffic, 70. Concert hall seat, about 80. A lawnmower, and we all know how loud that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 90. Then you get up to a rock concert, auto horn, woodworking shop. We know that's really noisy. Anybody have the horn blast in their ear when they're standing at the front of the truck knows how loud that is. That's like that can be like 100 to 110. Then we get up to the pain threshold, which is about 120. Now, I know what that means. When the jet flew over and it was so loud, I like had a meltdown. My ear hurt for the rest of the day. Then the jet aircraft and a gunshot is way up there at like 130. Well, that's what's been going over our house, is these airplanes and these jets. So our pain threshold for our hearing, it far exceeds that. You know, so we have in that area King Intermediate School. Now, I've been driving past that because I have to do that on my way home, my way back into town. And I have seen those C-17s like right over the top of King Intermediate School. Now, if I can't hear it in my house, what are these children experiencing? So if the teacher's talking, this is what happens with my favorite show. I'm sitting there listening, and all of a sudden it flies over, and I miss what happened, what was said and stuff. You know, I can't rewind on some of these shows. So these kids are sitting in the schoolroom. Their teacher's giving them a speech or something. How many times is this teacher going to have to say this? As they fly and do their touch and goes, these C-17s. Mm-hmm. So these children can't possibly maintain an attendance or an attention span in there that they can learn from this. And if, you know, if they're taking a test. Now, I've tried to do my bank balancing at home.
Mm-hmm.
And as this happens, I can't think. It's like nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're taking an exam in there, how could they possibly be focused on their exam? So they can't be having a good school day.
Where are the do they have principals at that school? principals. Are there principals running the school?
I would hope so.
What are they saying about it? I mean, or what are the nurses, what are the counselors saying? Is it the climate or the atmosphere, the environment over there so intimidating that anyone speak out? I would think the children come first. And there's another little tidbit that they're not supposed to fly over Coconut Island.
Yes.
Well, they do exactly that.
Yes. You saw for yourself they did that.
I witnessed plane after plane. They're not supposed to.
So, Carol, you bring up a...
What is it that at Coconut Island is so important that would have a greater importance than the children, for example?
I really don't know what happens over there. I don't know if they did their dolphin training there at some point. But doesn't some school have control over Coconut Island, that mm-hmm. they have some kind of training and stuff that goes on there? I'm really not sure. But mm-hmm. I can certainly go and research that if I need to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't matter what they... I just rhetorically asked the question. I'm not looking for an answer. It's just to draw a comparison.
If you're asking what makes Coconut Island more important than our children and the school, mm-hmm. I don't have a good answer for you.
Well, that's just to illustrate to the listener that there's such conflict and such... I guess one would describe it as a lame brain exception. Now, the people that live on the other side, there's a Cam Highway, and you go to the pier. When you're right under the plane, really doesn't sound that bad, because if you're standing at the pier and it's an open area. But if you're against the hill, and if you're standing up on the road, it's unbearable. And I don't know, some people can take a Coke bottle or whatever and scratch the chalkboard and it won't bother me. But I know some people would want to jump off of a cliff if you did that. So that's what's puzzling about this. And I don't see the military. I see them in the standoffish. And then through my reviews and interviews out there, I'm learning a lot. I mean, you know, bomb drops, you know, accidental bomb drops, though they're dummy, firing a 50 caliber, accidental 50 caliber discharge, all of that. But where is that reported? What does that do for you, the homeowners around there? And they're going to bring in new equipment without addressing the first concerns that you folk have.
Yes, and that's a whole other ball game, that ammunition and stuff. But, you know, because we're in a soup bowl, I've heard it referred to as an amphitheater. Okay, mm-hmm. that's a good description too. But to me, it's like a soup bowl mm-hmm. in the back. So when it flies over, it just bounces off of that and comes right back into the house. There are days that when it does reach over my roof, and I've seen them fly over the road, it's extremely loud, and it's hard to tell exactly where that aircraft is, because it sounds like it's back on the mountainside, or it sounds like it might be just at the water for me, and I walk outside, and I can see the belly of that plane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bouncing all in this little soup bowl for all mm-hmm. of us to hear.
Yeah. I watched one of the things that I found interesting. These planes are coming in, and they say they don't fly over the homes. They don't fly over the homes, but what's unnerving is that they aim for the homes. They aim, and there's a little red buoy there. And this is an airplane now. I mean, gravity sucks. So if that plane is moving, there's a glide plane. If it starts to lose control, someone is actually going to be impacted.
Yes.
And it's going to be an unexpected barbecue.
Yes.
I mean, on plan, I should say. But and this is, I'm joking about it, but I sat there and watched plane after plane, and I watched these homes. These planes are directly aimed, because this is their supposed turning point where they bank and make that left and then go around and go up to King School.
And you yourself saw they don't keep that same pattern. They're all over the board.
Yeah, and so what about the noise? The noise is unbearable. But we know this is a military base. And I sat there and I learned something very, very frightening. When these planes leave, they may be armed with weapons. And when they return, they may be armed. And guess what? your house and others, the homes that are sitting there, we're situated in a predicament where we're going to pick up the paper one day. And again, it's a situation where they're building this thing around what they want to do. They want to train the troops, they want to fly the planes, but they're not looking at the downside of this. State Senator Pono Chong was to join us, but I don't know, maybe something happened. He was going to be here with 8 to 10, but it's okay. We've always been able to do it. But I want to let the listeners hear a couple of things here that on these planes that... Right. What you hear in the background, this is the Kaneohe Marine Base, the planes, and you hear the roaring. This is what, if you live there, you would have to listen to. First, you got the ocean just going, and in the background, this is a normal for the folks there in that bay.
Yes, it's lapping on the wall.
The water is it, and in the background you hear that roar. I don't have it up there. On occasion, you can hear this roaring sound at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. And that's just a sampling now. This wasn't a busy day. Okay, anyway, now, mind you, those are separate aircrafts. The only thing that I did there was to taking a simple tape player. I didn't get any sophisticated microphone to enhance it or anything. That was just turn the volume down on low, giving a little error for error or what have you. I didn't want to exaggerate it, so I turned the volume down and recording it. What you hear is there's a lapping of the water against the seawall, but imagine this being, they fly, what, three or four planes at a time?
Oh, right? I've seen four.
Continuously mm-hmm. circling around, and that's constant. And I just got to say that the funny part about it is that's at the opening of the bowl or the horseshoe.
Yes.
But as you, these planes now, they're moving on up around the horseshoe to yep. swing around the bank and come in, and they're going to impact the same noise that you hear over the homes. It intensifies because it's hitting and reverberating off the mountainside as they go up to the school.
Yes.
And, again, maybe I don't see the callers calling in and concern, but maybe they just deaf and can't hear that we're talking about this.
And the other school or program out there is Ulamau Village,
mm-hmm.
the state park there. And they used to do, because I worked there mm-hmm. for a couple of months years ago, and there was a guy at one of these meetings, and his issue was they couldn't hear there. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there are programs out there for children at that Ulamau Village. I don't know the whole extent of what they do there now. But and I'd like to point out, when you started the recording, you can hear birds
mm-hmm.
in the background. Now, you have it at perfect time for the military because it's high tide. Mm-hmm. It's not always high tide. And that lapping is absolute high tide there on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not that many planes flying. So that's the best case scenario right mm-hmm. there for mm-hmm. them. But you can hear that hum and roar on the engine, on the base,
mm-hmm.
and then it takes off. And you can still hear that loud rumble, so the house is just vibrating as that happens. Then when it makes that turn, you can hear that pitch and stuff that it's over the top of the house. So you can hear it, and then you can hear it in the air as it still goes, and you can hear it all the way down to the next touch. And you can hear it go again. So the whole time this plane is doing, one plane,
mm-hmm.
there's a constant engine noise in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the moment it flies over the house, but some kind of vibration, some kind of roar, some kind of high pitch,
mm-hmm.
the whole time this aircraft is in the air. So, and then when it quiets back down, it's the hum, you don't hear the birds anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought I heard a voice in there. You can't even tell what that person's saying.
That was me attempting to talk just to demonstrate. Just to demonstrate that your voice is quieting. And good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I have a comment regarding this lady's complaint about aircraft noise. I have family of people who lived around the base for 50 years, and I never heard any of them complaining about it.
Well,
what does she want? Does she want the government to shut the base down so she can live without aircraft noise? I live in the Ever Beach area now, and Barbers Point Airfield was operational. There were continual aircraft, the flight pattern. I'm a pilot. I flew out of Barbers Point. The flight path went below Makakilo, turn left to make your landing approach. I belong to the Iroquois Yacht Club near Iroquois Point, where all the Navy housing years ago. They were under the flight plan to Honolulu Airport, and it's not only military jets. Every big jumbo jet that's landing on that runway, the main runway, they starts lowering, and you only a few hundred feet about the Navy housing at Iroquois Point. Of course, the military people can't complain. They're getting the housing, but the Ever Beach residents were subject to this aircraft noise. And but getting back this woman's problem, I don't know.
Let me
what
just
she
clarify.
Wants to do. She wants the government to shut
station. Ed, always remember, you're welcome to call, but take a breather. I mean, allow a question.
Say again?
Take a breath. I mean, relax. The question is, it isn't just what does this woman want, and as it relates to 50 years your family lived there, that's fine and dandy. Your family was maybe a passive, well-trained, disciplined family that didn't really, you know, cheer on the troops. But on the other hand, I remind you that when Agent Orange was being used and sprayed, everybody was happy because it just, you know, when people start to complain, it says, what do you want? We're using it to protect the soldiers and defoliating the plants, and we're winning and gaining on the enemy. So now you go back and ask those people that were impacted by that, would they listen to Ed and his members 50 years ago? So nothing personal, but, you know, I would say it's okay if your family endures that. Right on. More power to them. They were a good breed or good genetics or whatever and had the tolerance for a good hearing. But some people don't spend their money to be impacted by the military when there's... We need to be probably what she wants and what I've been told by others. We want it to be, as they say, to curtail it, not completely get rid of it, but at nighttime. I sat and watched in the afternoon around 7-ish. One plane did about 12 touch and goes. And then another plane joined in. So to just take a broad brush and simply say, well, what do they want? And she's complaining. No, there's a happy medium. There's a middle of the road, I would think. Okay, well, we're going to go on. Thanks for the call.
Well, I just want to mention that. You know, you're talking about touch and goes. I've done many touch and goes.
Now we're talking about
touch and goes are a training procedure which is necessary to train our pilots and new pilots in landing and takeoff procedures. This is a military operation.
We understand that
for many years.
We understand.
Honolulu Airport has impacted the city of Honolulu through flights. I remember when World War II, when aircraft crashed in Kali and killed many, many people. These were bombers loaded with bombs.
Right.
Google it, and you'll learn about it. I was going to close Honolulu Airport because of surrounding residential areas.
Don't
get to the point of being ridiculous.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever called the city to complain about anything personally?
I ride with the tide. I don't like the politicians. I'm happy. You know, they talk about the sewer system. Let's take the money from the rail, put it in the sewer system. For 50 years, I've gone to the barracks, flushed the toilet, and they took care of it. I've never had a complaint from the sewer department from that aspect. The road department, many, many complaints. I've called about potholes.
Why call them and complain, Ed? Why not just go along, get along, and run along the bumpy road in life? And, you know, you understand what the point is here. So don't apply your tolerance to others.
I've complained to Rod Haraga about
I understand. That's my point. So why would you bother?
Complain.
Why would you bother to call them if you're sitting here prescribing that these people should just shut up and get along with the program? Why did you call?
Roads can be fixed, but to shut down a naval
All righty. I got you. So,
Bye.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? We have sometimes a consumption of airwaves with people not getting the point, I guess. And I understand what he's saying. Yeah, we should, you know, be the great Americans and tolerate and stand back and. When a plane flies over, you go get your flag and wrap it around you and stand there and go, I'm
supporting our
troops. We're supporting
our troops.
You know, to heck with the fact that I might be trying to sell my house and the realtor can't hear the phone call coming in to.
But, I'm a bit confused why Ed thinks it's just me. We have tons of letters here that I can read for you. I can read little excerpts from exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's not just me.
Well, we're not debating him. This was just a jaunt on the side. It's not.
But, the lady that called in last week said that Eva Beach people had to sign a waiver.
Mm-hmm.
For noise over there. We've never been given that opportunity. I've lived there since 94. This noise level was not like that at all.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. Yes, I do have a comment. The lady is right. I live among all the 540 condos that are on the far end of that approach. I'm right behind, say, Safeway store,
mm-hmm.
and along the wall. And all I can tell you is that the noise sometimes is absolutely deafening. And I can look up from time to time and see the belly of the planes.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to point out your thoughts about Coconut Island. In the EIS, this was represented as a low-density area. We are side by side, packed in here. Happily, I'm not saying that we don't like it, but we are so solidly packed in that you couldn't be more densely populated than you are all along this part of the bay.
Mm-hmm.
There's two different kinds of noises. There are the noises of the planes coming down from the North Shore, along and passing Haia, coming to where I am, and as you said, they have to come fairly close to make an approach. They may be able to change their approach slightly. However, it is so loud that I'm sure that we will still hear it to some extent. Scheduled for here is a plane called a P-8A, and it is going to be a jet that carries these weapons that you're talking about, torpedoes, missiles, mines, and so forth. It's a multi-mission plane. And they're going to be adding that to this. Now, it is a jet, and all I can tell you is that when a jet takes off from that base, it resonates around this base with a boom that you would not believe. It rattles the windows. The sounds are just absolutely incredible. It is like a huge thunder times three, and it echoes all around the bay. They're also going to be bringing in MV-22s, which is a part helicopter and part plane. It changes. And it has an accident record that you would not believe. They also have the F-22s on the other side of the island, and I'm sure that they're going to be coming over here because they're all in training. One of the most terrifying things about all of this, the potential danger, is the fact that it's the Air National Guard, as I understand, for the most part, who are going to be trained. They're training pilots. If one of these pilots slips, makes a mistake, sneezes, or what have you, or in the case of the F-22, can't catch his breath.
Mm-hmm.
This is a stress that we live under all the time. The plane would go down, and I understand that the MV-22s have when they're about to crash. They are powerless when they're not in airplane mode. They just crash straight down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be driving, coming all along the whole bay here. The lady is right. The sounds here are absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can tell you is that I think that the people here in Hawaii, I understand that this was a base when I moved here in 1979. I've been here all these years. I love this place. I love the people here. And I've stayed. I love this place, and I love the people here. The base was here, but it was a quiet little base, and they are suddenly bringing all of the planes that they won't accept in other places here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be, not all of them, but some of them. And this is going to be a very, very, very difficult and stressful place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And the military knows this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The young people out in the military are very kind and very nice. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not speaking about them. But this is taking advantage. And it's like the elephant with his nose in the tent. You know, every day he wants a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not fair to us. Now, do you have any questions you'd like to ask me?
No, you've said quite a bit.
All right. Mm-hmm. All I can say is we appreciate people like her
mm-hmm.
who and will stand up and talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's not going to get any better. I'm not a complainer. I'm the person who always writes, you know, appreciation notes. And believe me, I'm not an old crab. I understand what this man was saying. From his point of view, you know, That was the truth, but I tell you, I'm living right here, right now, and she is right.
Right.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let me share something with you and the listeners. When I arrived here, Kaneohe Marine Base was active. That was some 20-some years ago. And there was a concern with the birds and the environmental. And they spent lots of money managing the golf course and managing drainage systems and converting them to habitat for and planting endangered species of plants and what have you. And that went out of the window, the elephant in the room getting the nose in. Now, all of a sudden, there's humongous expansion. Those very areas and some of those areas that were we threw money at saving the plants and managing the ivy, the kupuna, and all of that, and managing the firing range. Now the firing range is it's encroaching, and some of the areas that the birds were in, and they're increasing all of this activity. And no one's even talked openly about the potential for bird strike. See, this is what troubles me. I know the number of birds that are there. They're naturally found there on Ulupau Crater. And lots of effort and money goes in there. So all of that is being thrown out the window so that we can increase the number of aircraft and planes. So it isn't just simply an issue of what are you willing to tolerate, and it's for the sake of the country. It's just dumb. We're up there managing the bird population, trying to enhance it. We go up and we build nests and we cut the grass and to enhance the population. And then you come back and you increase the number of aircraft that comes in. Bird strikes. Even in their, it's a reality, in their layout, in their operation plan, they talk about bird strike. So imagine a plane at a high elevation coming in, as they do, and the ivy are flying as they circle, or the mask boobies, as they, or the just the regular redfoot booby, as they circle around, returning the feed or waiting to catch the wind, and you're flying these crafts through there. One bird striking in the trajectory, that plane flying toward the homes, we're going to have some problems. Good morning, Carl. You have a comment or question?
Oh, Carol, just one comment. You did mention the golf course at Kaneohe Air Station. Please don't close the base. I golf there all the time. What a beautiful golf course. Thank you very much.
All righty, yeah. Yeah, no, we wouldn't want to close the golf course because there are a number of endangered birds there, the Gallinu there, and again, these are the little habitats that are very important, and the shoreline out there. You know, we get things like brant geese that fly in. We get the bristle-thigh curlew, the Endangered Species Act, and all of those things come into play. The funny thing about it is, you see, that elephant in the room that the lady talked about, their behavior is like a herd of elephants in the room. Because on every front, they claim that there's a protection zone around and that you can't go in. But they go into the sandbar area with their LCACs. And just recently I got a call that they were in an area that was known for the Ivy Kupuna, what we call Ku'e or Pyramid Rock. They were in there. What about all of those issues? So these boys, the fly boys, want to get in there and do their thing, and we need some resistance to let them know the legislators need to step up and quit passing the buck about who having breakfast. You know, I'll buy you breakfast if you're looking for breakfast. We need some answers because I don't live there. I'm concerned about the endangered species and the other species that are found there that are just going to be pushed aside. Good morning, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Yes, Mr. Cox. Thank you for your very fine program. This idea of the militarization of Hawaii, I've heard Hawaii referred to by a Yahoo in Washington as the spearhead for this TPP, or Trans specific project that has been signed into place. And so they're referring to this area as the spearhead for the imposition of the U.S. empire into the Pacific more than they already have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tells us where we are. And I sort of, when I first came here, I could see that we had the pearl protecting the shell. Everything was backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing a fine job of protecting your interest for hearing, but we've never developed a plan to save the human species. We've been working on the plants and animals, but now we'd better tie in the fact that this has destructed the human species, for the children especially, and their hearing is going to be affected, no question about that. So your project is very much appreciated. We have complained over here, and I live way over on the other side of the island, about noise of airplanes. Actually, I think they're going to hit the house. And they have a whine to them, not as bad as you have over there, but certainly when one comes through, it is very distressing, to say the least. So good luck on everything you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, the... let me tell you why we have a right and should question this process. We had Bobber's Point, for example. The government had that in its hand, in its grasp. Somehow, the Hunts and other developers, Iroquois Point, what would have been the perfect place to leave it in place, the Navy had control of that area. But instead now, we have garbage companies renting the land. We have, and then we take other areas and abandon that, and that's stressed. And we're allowing big business and people that gave great donations to all the politicians here the right to manage that area over in Barbara's Point and broke it up and gave some back to the Hawaiian community and what have you. The perfect area, it is on a point out there that was already serving as a military point, had a runway and all of that. So they gave that to their friends here in town. The same people, the Danny Noyes and all those people that boast about increasing over here at Kaneohe. And how do we reward them? We reward them by not speaking out. We reward them by standing there and whining and hoping that some savior is going to come along and fix it. And we have to sit there and whine.
But, Carol, where did they move those aircraft to from Barbara's Point? Kaneohe Marine Corps Base?
You got me.
Well, I think you should check that out because we do have some of those over there. I'm told those were now housed over where we are.
Well, and again, so, you know, shame on those that say, well, you know, we have to train and we've put up with this. No, it's about good looking for the best options, minimizing the impacts. Maybe instead of training and flying 24 hours a day, maybe the community would tolerate some 12 hours or what have you. But there's no discussion. It's like the elephant is in at the room and it's over. You know, he sits where he wishes to sit. And
well, you know, Carol, I had one of the politicians contact me. And they pretty much said they came to my home, they heard this noise, and when they left, they said, we can support our troops, training needs to happen, but this bay is an inappropriate place to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe so, again.
Can I just say, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, and I really appreciate her contacting me and doing this, but it was Jessica Woolley. And, you know, I'd be happy to have anybody else who wants to come to Mile and I and, you know, listen to this stuff, but she reached out. And she listened, and she said, it's inappropriate.
Well,
this is an inappropriate place to do this.
Is she writing a letter, sending it to, and telling Dan and Maisie anything?
I believe that when she left, my heartfelt feelings were that she is committed to addressing this issue.
Well, please, when she write that letter, please bring it to us, share it with us, because that would be encouraging, you know. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Tommy, it's me again. Can no that problem. Lady name those politicians that she contacted personally? We'd like to know who they are.
I've got a letter from – I've contacted the Marine Corps base. I have a letter from them pretty much gaffing me off about it. I've got one from the Air Force that I would be happy to read. I've got it here in my pile about what they've said. And then, you know, I have from the Navy a memorandum, I guess. It's quite lengthy to be a memorandum. Whoa. But it's a global war on noise. And so where's this global war on noise in the Bay? Yeah. And then let me see if I can find that letter real quick. Okay, here it is.
Well, we're not going to list the full list of politicians you've contacted.
I've done my share. I've contacted that base, pretty much gaffed off when I called. I was told I'm the only one complaining, since learned that that's not true because I have lots of letters from everybody. It says basically the same thing I do. But this is the one from the Air Force. Like you, we value our relationship with our community partners. In fact, many of the men and women of Team Hickam grew up in local communities. In the spirit of being good neighbors, the United States Air Force completed numerous airfield environmental assessments, including Kaneohe, in the 2002 study of options for C-17 training throughout the Hawaiian Islands. I don't know where this assessment is. I can't get a copy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it says, this study indicated that even over nearby land masses, only a 2 to 3 decibel increase over ambient noise levels of the surf, you heard just mm-hmm. now there was no surf, and even over nearby land, and wind noise would occur. Mm-hmm. That said, your home's proximity to the traffic pattern and your actual observations cannot be discounted. Mm-hmm. What I can offer you is an accurate accounting of measures we put in place to balance our training with noise reduction in your community. This information only applies to the C-17s operating out of Hickam.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
But I'm told in that same letter that they don't own any runways, which, you know, I'm totally baffled by.
I was told the same thing, that a great many of them, because they're only limited to the number of flights they can fly out of Hickam, they need to fly out of Kaneohe. But, again, the expansion, the increase of troops, I think there was a major flaw in this whole process, and I don't know. I would like to ask, what were they thinking? But then I know they weren't. I think they, when you look at it, taking away Iroquois Point and putting it in the hands of private management, taking it and putting Barbara's Point in the hands of numerous private entities and concerns was the dumbest thing that I've seen. And then turn around knowing, while handing that off to their friends and their big partners and businesses and fragmenting it at Barbara's Point. They're over here increasing Kaneohe Marine Base. I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with the noise. It's to do with someone's been whispering in the back room, swinging deals.
The other thing is, I've been to Barbara's Point. They're not in a bowl, so they're not hearing this. They had that open ocean in mm-hmm. which to do this. When you put it in Kaneohe Bay, mm-hmm. it's a bowl. It's a bay. So, you know, I don't think people who don't see this realize that, you know, like the gentleman that called. It's not, I mean, that was perfect. They could fly out over the ocean and come back. Mm-hmm. Didn't disturb people. But my understanding also is why we're getting this increase in troops is that, you know, I lived in Okinawa, Japan for 4 years. I heard the noise level there. I heard the helicopters over base housing and stuff. I lived through that. The Okinawan people did not want that anymore. They did not want that noise level over their homes. And they live on an island. Mm-hmm. And so they flew back and forth across this island. I lived there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I know this is true. You know, it's not appropriate in the Bay. Mm-hmm. So if we're in Afghanistan and we're in Pakistan and we're over in Iraq and stuff, in this desert environment, to me the most appropriate place to be doing this is also in that type of environment. I was in the reserves. So when we went to fly, and I did, they were doing a joint testing then mm-hmm, where women mm-hmm. were combined with men. I had male drill sergeants and stuff. Went in the gas chamber, fired the M16, threw grenades, did the machine gun. You know what? I wasn't on the bay with breezy wind doing this machine gun. I was in the hottest environment that I could possibly describe mm-hmm. to you, in full gear, shooting this machine gun in mm-hmm. the hot sand. I'm sorry, I wasn't in some nice environment. And, you know, if you're going to go into that environment where you're going to have to fend for your life, you need to be trained in that environment. Mm-hmm. You're going to go in the snow, go somewhere where the snow is. You're going to be in the desert, go somewhere where the desert training is. Well, this is not appropriate.
Yeah, the flying in a variety of conditions. But anyway, out at Wheeler Army Air Force Base, or Army Base now, I guess, that great many helicopters come in there and fly out of there, which is quite all right. But at times they want to extend their hours and go into midnight. There are human beings and people and species of concern. So you want to minimize, not to completely say no to training, but at least have some kind of containment and allow it.
Well, they like to say that they're not doing this in the middle of the night. Well, I've experienced it. And so it's not actually an aircraft that might be flying over. I was up the other night, and after 10 o'clock, three aircraft flew over the top of my house in different intervals, wasn't all at the same time. And I hear this vibration noise at night. Now, some people call it a runoff, and some people call it a test cell. This goes on at midnight, at 1, at 2, at 3, at 4:30. I've heard it all hours, not during REM pack either. Mm-hmm. I've heard this. And, you know, I can give you the definition, their definition of a run-up noise, if you'd like that.
Real quick, because we have no more time.
Well, the definition is a high-power run-up is defined as an engine run-up that requires more than 80% power of jets and greater than 1,000 indicated shaft horsepower for P-3s and other large turboprop aircraft. P-3s may conduct 1,500 indicated shaft horsepower for single engine prop balancing on the wherever. Mm-hmm. And so that's what that loud, and it vibrates the house and stuff.
Well, anyway, I'll keep listening, and I want to go over to the school and see why the principals. Maybe there are letters. Maybe the principals are. But I would say it's a dereliction of duties or the health of the kids. And if I'm wrong and representing that there's a noise and there's a problem, as many other people are, then please accept my apologies in advance. But if I'm right, shame on all of you, because you have not only to get knowledge into the kids, you're to protect them so that they are afforded quality and atmosphere learning and what have you, so, or an environment for learning. And the teachers and all, I implore you to do something. Don't get into the argument. But if it's true, and there are many others say, let's focus on the schools. And so I'm going to believe that it is of concern. But shame on all of you if you stand back and you think that the justification is we'll go see Maisie and Dan and what have you. Everybody needs to give a definitive statement or an answer to this process so that this lady doesn't have to come in and sound as if she's angry at the world and be challenged by, you don't like our troops. You know, it's crazy and it's nonsense. I joined the Army, volunteered at 17, early entry program, and I just don't wrap myself in the flag because I like wearing short pants. So those of you that like to wrap yourselves in the flag, that's fine and dandy too, but this is an American country. You know, our principles are different. We should question things, and not because it's authority, and that's a whole different show.
Well, we have to stop and wonder why when President Obama's, you know, in Lanikai, why the whole base shuts down. You don't hear sound.
Well,
you don't hear sound.
They shut down everything when any of them, they have a flight, whether it's Ronald
Well, that's Reagan their that's their quiet hours. Which,
No, that's just security. They don't want you flying around.
Then they don't fly either, if you've noticed. So they don't want to deafen anybody. They don't. It's plausible deniability.
Well, yeah, but that's a whole, the president being in place, George Bush come here, we ground every plane, and we don't want them flying in areas. So thank you. We're down to the last
couple seconds. I just wanted to bring up the ordinance.
Yeah, so anyway, if you want to join us in the next hour, we'll be back. We're running out of time here, so see you shortly. Thank you. Carol@carolcox.com is the email. Aloha.
Tired of the life I lead, tired of the blues I breathe, tired counting things I need, gonna cut out white, and that's the truth. Get a brand new man while I got my youth. Tired of the clothes I wear, tired of the patches there, I'm tired of the crows I scare. On a truck down to...
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And again, I'm sitting here, we're talking about Kaneohe and the Marine Base and the noise and the Nuives and all of that. So... one of the things, you know, sometimes I try to inject humor and what have you and say bad things about good people. You know how it is. But let me just, as they say on the street, let me pull your coattail on this one. So why should we really be making any noise about this helicopters and all that when we stand back and look at the bigger picture? So we know we're all moving toward missiles. You know, we're trying to keep North Korea from developing missiles or that will transport nuclear warheads and Iran and, you know, everybody. So what if now are we really wasting our time? Because this is a missile nuclear age now. If we do end up into a major war, now I'm just saying this, just tossing it out there. So are we wasting our time talking about noise and airplanes, engines flying overhead and disturbing the kids and whatever? When in fact, if we engage with China, I would think, and it's a serious engagement, the first thing they're going to do is send us a popsicle here to Hawaii, because we've staged all of our military and our Marines and our fancy helicopters and airplanes and jets and soldiers. Wouldn't they probably think, well, the first thing, they've collected all this arsenal over there, let's just take a portion of that out. And then you and I will be sitting and drinking red wine and see this big red cloud and say, what was, and that's it. So I'm just saying, guys, so, you know, when you put all your chicken and eggs in a basket, maybe are we just, it's an act of futility when it won't matter because they put everything here. And I would think if I was at war and a strategist, I would think that we know where they put all their arsenal and all their weaponry and what have you, or at least a great bulk of it. So just something to talk about and think about. And anyway, I know that's kind of a strange saying, but, you know, the guy that invented the dynamite and all is, you know, now they give a peace prize for it. So nothing ever makes sense. But again, when we talk about politicians and these decisions, we take the magazine at in Waikele, the storage bins that were used and the fireworks went off. Remember, they were used to store. So why did they get rid of that? They're still storing explosives there. They need explosive storage sites. Why did they give this to Savio and others to use to run, make money and run storage systems? You know, this is with Ed Cage talk about Maisie. Ed, as I read to you a while back, he encouraged that and said that the Navy was sovereign to the U.S., to the state laws, and so therefore he engaged in representing his clients. And I can't think of the name now, but so that's one. We've taken that out of the picture. And then you take Barbara's Point, and they've all given land back, and people are now dropping oil and storing old cars. And if in fact, I offer this and I'll let back to my guests, if in fact, if it's mediocre or menino on my part to interfere and discuss this and interfere with the troops and question the government what it was doing, why would, if it's so important, if I have to feel this question, well, we're doing it for the troops, are you? Then if that's the case, I'll ask this question. Why did you give the Barbara's Point base up if I have to answer you to, in response to, am I supporting the troops? Are you not supporting the troops when you are, or you're failing to support them when you know that you were going to increase their numbers? They need homes. They need adequate training, but you gave it to your friends because they gave you a good donation. It's just something to talk about.
Yeah, Carol, I wanted to bring up the issue. Someone had asked me, is there live ammunition coming into Kaneohe Bay mm-hmm. on these aircraft? And, you know, I'm going to have to go, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Now, there is an article in the Honolulu Star Advertiser on 5/11/11 that shows these P-3s and these P-8s and what they carry, torpedoes, cruise missiles, bombs, and mines. Now, I have a pilot that I know from Beaufort, South Carolina, and I ask him this question, you know, how does this work? And he said, well, you know, they'd have to fly in with hung or unexpended ordnance, and they'd have to come into the bay with that. But let me read to you what he has told me the hung or unexpended ordnances are. Now, these aren't aircraft that have been out there. Hung ordnance is defined as any external ordnance that cannot be released through normal release or emergency jettison procedures or any rocket or missile that has misfired. Unexpended ordnance is defined as any airborne weapon, that has not been subjected to attempts to fire or dropped and is resumed to be in normal operating conditions and can be fired or jettisoned if necessary. Now, they're going to have to come into this bay with that.
Yeah.
You know, whose house are they flying over? Whose house are they pointed at? I mean, you know, I'm going to have to believe at this point, based on what this pilot told me, that there are live ordinances that are coming into this bay on those planes at times, you know. And I just prefer it not be over my house, the schools, residential areas whatsoever. I mean, this is just not appropriate.
Well, there are a number of scenarios that would present themselves that this plane has. What if they take off and they have armed the bomb or the torpedo and they get out there and develop engine trouble? They're not going to continue to limp to the target.
Yeah, and I'm told...
And they're going to return.
Yeah, and I'm told they have specific flight patterns to fly over. Well, we know we don't do that. They don't do that because we've seen them out of those patterns. So I've seen C-5s cut way back out there and fly. So
I would
like some kind of written proof from the Kaneohe base saying, we're never going to have live ordnance flying there. This doesn't happen. These things are not on there, and they're not misfires, and they're not doing that. I'd like for somebody to give that to me.
See, I don't know if I don't know the logistics, and I don't want to place a burden on the military. They have to train, but are they just operating so loosely that we don't know anything? And having planes returning, I sat there and I watched, I will call them sorties or whatever, touch and goes. I'd say they're touch and goes. An engine is an engine. Whether it's going off to war or just practicing, it's still the same noise, and they're trying to navigate and deal with things. But I'm concerned that what I saw the other night is that there were a couple of houses that this buoy that they turn on, they pivot on. And they're pivoting tight on this buoy. And these buoys sit maybe 100 yards, 150 yards from the homes. And we're talking about an airplane at an elevation that something goes wrong and you get a hiccup in the engine. You know, or down, who knows? I mean, as you indicated, you've witnessed little water spouts out there. So it's a reality, and wind and what have you, gusts. We don't know nature to be exact. So, but anyway, that's about it. Those of you who wanted to call in, 524-1080, and I want to thank you for joining me. We will probably, as I find out more on this subject, and if Ms. Woolley or Pono Chong, I guess I won't trust receiving anything from him. They sent me an email, said they were coming, and I haven't received a call, say they're not. So maybe they lost their way. We never know. So anyway, thank you for joining me. Anyway, there were a great many things I wanted to talk about with, let's see here, where do I start? It's like walking into a glass shop and it's all broken, but still also interesting. I'll just start wherever I can. There's so much. Some of you may have viewed this story online at KGMB Hawaii News Now that regarding the Mr. Tom Heinrich, the executive secretary of the neighborhood commission office. And the neighborhood commission office, you know, is run, and there is a, I think you may have also seen a story where Kimo Kelii is actually, there's a letter for sanctioning. And so this is quite interesting. And I just got to tell you that in this case, Kimo Kelii is the neighborhood board member out at Nanakuli, board 36. And he's also Tom Berg's campaign manager. I don't know what the exact title is. I've looked on, and he's involved heavily in the Berg, or was. Something may have changed. Berg may have come to his senses and realized that if his campaign manager or someone affiliated with his campaign is behaving badly, it's a reflection on Berg, but who knows? Maybe he has something different. But on July 23rd of this year, the Tom Heinrich. Now, there's two stories here about Heinrich, and I want you to listen carefully if you are interested. He sent a letter to the chair, Sylvia Young, and members of the Neighborhood Board Commission, and basically, And I've posted this on the website, carol@carolcox.com. And if this is to take place, it would be one of the first occasions that any one member has been sanctioned. But what he's doing is basically Heinrich has written to this board commission and saying, written recommendations pursuant to Section 218.101A(a)(1) of the neighborhood plan, that the commission initiates a hearing to consider the imposition of sanctions against Nanakuli Maili Neighborhood Board Number 36 member Kimo Kealii for several egregious violations of the neighborhood board plan. Now, those are not my words. These are Heinrich's words. And many informal complaints and inquiries have been lodged with the Neighborhood Commission over incidents occurring at the Nanakuli Maili Neighborhood Board. And I think, if you recall, I played his outburst, and I posted that on the website. You can see the actual video of Kealii and his behavior, which brought this document and caused Heinrich to file this. The March 20th, 2012, and I think there's a discrepancy in the date, meeting between member Kimo Kealii and several members of the audience, and Kealii and the board chair, Hanalei Aipoalani, the executive secretary, is of the position that these incidents are preventing the board from fulfilling its mission to increase and assure effective citizen participation in the decisions of government in a respectful and fair forum, and that sanctions by the commission may be the only effective means to address past incidents and prevent future incidents. Now, in this incident, as I told you on another show, Berg was present. And you heard me ask Berg, based on some of these behaviors, why would he continue to have Kealii involved with this? And no answer. Well, this is at 3:04:45. This is a video that is documenting the filming and the neighborhood board meeting. Kealii interrupts a resident speaking under the resident's community concerns agenda, violating the decorum plan, denying the public right to testify under HRS Chapter 92. And so he was, there were several of these, and I'm not going to sit and read, but additionally, member Kealii has inappropriately attempted to use his position as chair of the Education Committee to seek removal of another committee chair on allegations of misconduct and included his allegations in an Education Committee minutes, a public document written by Kealii. And that was he was attempting to get rid of Ms. Patty Teruya. Also, Kealii initiated a complaint against an audience member with her employer, which has been strongly perceived as an effort of intimidation and retaliation for alleged differences of opinion. And I think next week we're going to try and put together a number of people to come in and share with you, the listener, how a company, and I talked about this before, but we're going to get firsthand, a company met with people and Kealii and others to circumvent the process that is afforded to you and I as citizens. And that should be really interesting if it plays out right. Also, this gentleman contacted the chancellor of the college here and proceeded to speak negative about Lucy Gay and attack her by going to her employee. So, employer. So, what is happening here? He is being called on the carpet for this, and I hope that that is. Accordingly, Kealii breached the standards of conduct set forth in the neighborhood plan and failed to promote and preserve order and decorum required by NP, the neighborhood plan. The executive secretary hereby presents this recommendation that the neighborhood commission initiate the complaint and hearing process with the set forth in the, against Nanakuli board member Kealii, and for the alleged violations of neighborhood plan, sunshine law, and parliamentary procedures. So anyway, that's on that one, and let's hold our voices and see what happened with this, if in fact this goes on. if they're going to follow. Now, Kealii has been quite involved with Hanneman's, Mufi Hanneman campaign in the past, and I don't know what he's, you know, what he's up to now as it relates to Hanneman, but, and also was involved in helping Carlisle and, or any of the politicians. As you remember, he got lots of money in the benefit package grant, landfill benefit package grants that Hanneman handed out to his cousins and everybody else. So that's one. Now, I did receive a letter, an anonymous letter, addressed to, it states, Dear Peter and Ann and Isaac, and these are people in the, and I'll just read you a little bit. It is voting season, and a large number of neighbors in Manoa community, in a Manoa community, are contemplating who to vote for. What is swaying our decision is the lack of support for laws that are in place, specifically a strip of land that is being used as a dumping ground by two persons, Tom Heinrich and Lisa Chang. The strip of land is 10 feet wide by 300 feet long. When Tom and Lisa moved out of the Armstrong Manor mansion in June 2010, they moved its contents onto the strip of land. There are at least five large shipping containers and three giant piles of rotting materials. I didn't see the five large containers. What I did, I saw two containers there, and they were connected, but a lot of, and some of you saw the story, but a lot of this material. But the question is this. The city and county of Honolulu Department of Planning permit actually have issued citations for this very violation. And it was issued to Lisa Chang, and Lisa, apparently, they didn't pay the fine, and each day it's $100 building up per day, upwards of about $39,000, close to that. So here's what happens. You don't see Tom Heinrich's name anywhere on this, but this letter... So I went there and photographed it and did a little background checking. And true, Heinrich's name is nowhere, but I was able to look at the bins, and there were a couple of numbers on it, and we traced back and called the company that owns it. And in fact, they informed us that Tom Heinrich did in fact own or had rented these bins. But in the news story, his response was, and he also talked to me, was that it's really not his. And I'd like to ask you, if you go and rent storage bins or containers and you put them on a street, shouldn't you know what's inside of them? And if someone put something in there, wouldn't you be a little alarmed that someone has violated you and storing things in your bins that you didn't authorize? Well, anyway... he told me that, Heinrich told me that he had actually talked with Peter and talked with the people in city government, and this is that courtesy that we talk about. He's getting a nice salary. Whomever hired him, he was on the neighborhood board, so he gets a nice salary. And when, if you recall, I asked him and then requested information regarding Hanneman using his office, using Heinrich's neighborhood board office to make copies of his campaign brochures on using the copier. He said that he had investigated and it wasn't true, but I have emails that say the opposite, complete opposite. So, again, I'm just tossing this out to you. This is how our government works. And if you are in with the boys, you can do pretty much anything you want in this town. You can take containers and put them on the street. And then when you're caught, but he'd already been caught, because the city, I must say, the DPP, they're not part of the good old boy cover-up. They did their job. It's just that Carlisle and anybody else and the Corporation Council, there's a notice of order. They should have attached a lien to his property. But that sits in limbo. And he, on the news story, they said, well, Lisa would pay the fine Well, why bother to pay the fine when you, if you got that much money, just pay somewhere to store it legally. But what will happen in this, why I'm interested in the story, is that even though there is this fine that has been assessed, unless the Corporation Council do a lien and attach their driver's license and all of that to it and do a foreclosure to get the money back, they may never pay. They may get away scot-free. Even though they've been caught, it will take the Corporation Council or the director of DPP, David Tenoy, who's part of the Klan, and that's what's going to happen. So if you're in government, you can walk tall, stick your hand in your pocket, and shake our money. But if you're out of government, you're going to pay dearly. You're going to be taxed, feed away, and all of that. But again, this is just an example I use to illustrate that. So that's one of them. Now, another one is that, you know, I love animals. Love, and it doesn't matter if I love them or not. It's you probably say, who cares? But I do. And I believe that stray animals, you try to manage. There's a dog out back of my home that I've been trying for years to capture her, and it's just next to impossible. But, you know, you do as you can. And cats, and I don't believe the cats, the population, we can put them in check by spay, neuter, and release. I'm into that. But what I'm not into is that there is this culture within government. Once again, these names, Blake O'Shira. Now, you know Blake from was a state legislator for the IR area. And Blake has a partner, Wayne Marquez. And then there's Alicia Maluafiti, who we've talked about before. And she cares about animals and have been actively involved in neutering and spaying and adopting animals. And I'm all for that. I'm with her, and if I saw her on the side of the road doing that, I'd take off my blue suede shoes or even leave them on and walk in the mud to help her, because that's a good thing. But what is bad about this, and there's another name here, Fred Perlack. Those names are members and officers of Poi Dogs and Popoki. And this is a nonprofit organization, I'm going to say founded or in parts by Alicia Maluafiti. Now, you know that they've been cutting back on benefits and for the senior, for the elder, for the children. They've cut back on the buses. You know what I mean. But somehow, now, and I don't know priorities, and it's not for me to guess and figure out. But let me read you something. The new budget that came out and that was approved on the Bill 14, 2012, CD2, FD21, or the ordinance for that is 12-19. And basically, these are amendments. And these amendments, and I ask you to remember some names, Blake O'Shiro, Wayne Marquez, Perlack, that's Fred Perlack, and Alicia Maluafiti. Now, somehow, there is Ernie Martin, the kingpin, and I tell you what, based on what I've seen, this is one of the prime examples, time and time and time again, that he's been involved in this white-collar crime, crime against the people, a violation of the public's trust, spending their money, giving it away in forms of loans, and then turning around and sneaking to convert it into grants so that they can have their friends set up buying and funding kitchens and what have you for friends. And so, but here's one. Ernie Martin introduced, and quietly, and every single city councilman voted for it. Now, this is coming on the heels of cutting the buses impacting people that need to get to the doctor, seniors, schools, whatever, just disruptive because they needed to save money. But here is Office of Special Projects. This is an office that was run by Ernie Martin, but now run by Sam Moku, and also headed by Deputy Wise is Lori Okami, who was working closely with Ernie Martin. But under this, increased funding for current expenses and added proviso language, at least three. Let me make sure you're sitting down and hold on to your coffee. At least $330,000 of current expenses shall be appropriated for a grant in aid to Poi Dogs and Popoki to fund a mobile spay-neuter clinic to provide low-cost spay-neuter and veterinary care targeted for at-risk and underserved rural communities and shall not be expended for any other purpose. Now, they cut buses back. There were people used the bus to go buy groceries. Yet, Ernie Martin could give his friend, who, by the way, gives him donations and campaign donations, Malia Fiti. And I this organization, Popoki and Poor Dogs and Popoki, Blake O'Shea sits on the board. His partner also sits on the board, Wayne Marquez. Fred Perlack, who works for Monsanto and is a registered lobbyist for Monsanto. If you look at the donations to Mufi, Hanneman, and other politicians to include Ernie Martin, you'll see. So is this a payback? Now, what's even more troubling, under Amendment List 34, a minimum of $150,000 shall be appropriated for a mobile spay neuter for pets from economically disadvantaged families. And a minimum of $100,000 shall be appropriated for the improvement of facilities that provide supportive vocational residential services and on and on. So how is it that Governor Abercrombie's chief of staff, deputy chief of staff, sits on a nonprofit organization as a board member? And then in turn gets that organization, at a minimum, he should remove himself from the board. But they gave at least $330,000 for this van to underprivileged. But the same underprivileged community that couldn't get a bus because they rescheduled and took some of the buses out because they were trying to save money. Or maybe they should just hop on the veterinarian bus. Who knows? This is how stupid this thing is, and why it's frustrating, because they have no shame. They don't fear any prosecution because you got the city prosecutor and former city prosecutor, I should say, Kaneshiro is now, but Carlisle, but he too signed this bill allowing this. And what I will tell you is that with this whole process, now how is it that in an amendment or in a budget, how is it that Alicia Malua Fiti, and this is why I say Blake O'Shea should be removed from that and be forced to and step down, because how is it that she can get, and this organization can get, penciled in to the city budget when there's no RFPs, request for proposals, there's no clearly defined program that the city has said that we need, or a justification that we need a spay-neuter vehicle? Absolutely none has been presented, and apparently they didn't believe that it needed, because they have this little plan that taxpayers' dollars can be spent any way they want to, and they don't have to answer to anyone, to include the city council, because they all voted for it. But I guess they voted for it because they, people like even Tom Berg, missed this one, and I'm sure, you know, he could use $330,000 in his district opposed to buying a vehicle that's going to drive around and spay neuter cats. But the question is, who's a veterinarian that they're going to rely on to do the surgeries? Well, it just so happened, and this is mere speculation, but I have a right to draw this conclusion because as a board member, Wayne Marquez, as I told you, who's the partner of Blake O'Shea and also a board member as Blake O'Shea is on Popoke, Poi Dogs and Popoke. Wayne Marquez, this is straight from Poi Dogs and Popoke's website. Wayne Marquez is a hospital administrator for VCA Family Animal Hospital and the largest 24-hour animal emergency hospital in Hawaii. Will this company serve as a veterinarian? If so, why weren't other veterinarians consulted? Why weren't were they not included in the process of giving a letter? And you might say, how do I know that they weren't? Well, because I'm looking at an email to one of the that was generated by the Dr. Eric Ako, and this is, colleagues, I've been made aware that Honolulu City Council Chair Arnie Martin is thinking of budgeting $330,000 for a mobile spay-neuter clinic to provide low-cost spay-neuter and veterinarian care targeted for at-risk and underserved rural communities and shall not be expended for any other purpose. That's what I read you about the budget. The at least $330,000 of the current expense shall be appropriated for a grant and aid to Poi Dogs and Popokis. You know, so, and rightfully so, other veterinarians ask the same questions. And as I was asking, you know, we ran out of money annually because we have the Neuter Now program. The city runs out of money and then they have to rebudget. So here's a question. Why didn't they take the $330,000 and expand or enhance the existing program where there were a number of veterinarians using it at a number of sites throughout the island? But instead, they gave it to one friend, Alicia Maluafiti and Poi Dogs and Popoke, who, as I've told you, Neil Abercrombie's deputy chief of staff, sits on that board as well. So I smell something bad in Denmark here. There is something really bad. And to be able to do this, and the city council passes it, and then Carlisle passes it, and so I'm wondering, what's the connection? Well, I'll just tell you what the connection is. You see, Mufi Hanneman, Arnie Martin, and all of these people, and I'll call them people just to be polite. You know, there's other names for when you see this behavior. But Go Rail Go, you see, and or the committee, the registrant for that Go Rail Go is the Committee for Balanced Transportation. And who's on that committee? That committee is consistent of Alicia Maluafiti, Uwe, and Maida Timpson. So is this a reward for that Mufi Hanneman, your congressman? I should say illustrious congressman. But anyway, caller, you have a comment or question?
Oh, you're talking to me?
You're the caller?
Yes.
I'm teasing.
I wanted to change the subject if you don't mind. I think you had John Carroll on your program at one time, did you?
That was so far back out of...
He's running for U.S. Senator.
Okay.
And I just, it's hard to decide whether we want Democratic or Republican Party on the primary.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite impressed with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I think maybe I should choose him on that.
Okay, well, good. I mean, thanks for the political campaign speech, though. I'll invite all anybody out there want to campaign for their candidate. Please call in. Feel free. You know, but you think he's a good man?
Well, I've heard him on one other program,
mm-hmm.
and he seems very, very
okay.
able to express himself.
All righty.
Thank you.
Well, okay. You take care. Well, people do anything for a vote, won't they? I mean, gee whiz. But then, on the other hand, I said, just call up at any time and talk about anything. But with some discretion. You know, anyway, it's okay. I'm not mad at you. It's okay. But again, this happens, and whether this behavior that I'm speaking of happens, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. There, we need an overhaul of a system. And I know some of you are going, yeah, Ron Paul, we need, I mean, if he hadn't gotten the message by now, that whole political process, it's a perfect system. The biggest flaw is the voters. You put up and tolerate anything. I think if they put the voting booth down at a firing range and you had to, voters would go by, never even think, because they're committed, that they're either moved by the union or moved by the party or they're moved by the religion. And it's like, hey, this is what you get when guys can take $330,000 of your money and give to a friend. And then in turn, shut down the buses because they're trying to save money or don't have the money. But they can buy a van or whatever it is. It might be an old chuck wagon. Who knows the way this town operates. But again, some of the questions is, how is Alicia qualified? And what did the city, do a request for a proposal? And if they did, then they would have had to justify a need for this. But where's that justification? What are the parameters? What are the conditions of receiving this grant? What are the earmarks? What are the benchmarks? What are the things that are needed to gauge the success of this program? They being Ernie Martin and the rest of these guys, this is what they do on top. They give your money and they take your power and they screw us to the wall. Now, they tried this. I was doing some research. They tried the same van effort idea back in the 80s. And they concluded from that study that it was better to have it at multiple sites. And again, you can see some of the documents on Carol at carolcox.com. But I almost feel like a broken record because I don't expect the taxpayer to run out there and throw themselves in front of trucks and cars and go kick in the doors at the state capitol or the city hall. But this is a measure where you can gauge how far you've been removed from your government when they make such brazen moves. They make such obvious corrupt and take such measures as this to go out there. That's how you gauge if you are a free nation or free people. That's how I do, I should say, because they can tell you anything. But when you turn around and you see that they would take an action like this and abandon the procurement process, and if it was already penciled in, that's a contract. That means they have determined that the city needed that service. So is there someone out there that could have done more for less? Maybe a company already had a truck. That would, all they needed was $120,000 and give the other $210,000 to the bus company so that the people in Kailua, the people in Kahuku could catch the bus and arrive to work on time. Or rather than straining the families and juggling the cars and transporting. Or how about the person that needed to get to the doctor now and already ill and sick but uses the bus to get there and yet can't. But we found enough money to give Ernie Martin's friend, Mufi Hanneman's friend, Blake O'Shira's friend. You understand? So this is, if you want to know how good is your government and how much control you have over your government, if they do this and really don't try to conceal it, then I don't believe that we have much say in our government. They're taunting us. They're asking us to vote them out. They're asking us to wake up one morning and be smart. They're daring us to say, to one day just to say, to hell with all of you. and we want a new system, you see. And I you call up and talk about John Carroll, you know. John Carroll is Republican, and they all spend their time. I sit here and I say none of them are worth two nickels because they tolerate the racist nonsense that is spewed on the radio. I haven't heard a single one of them speak out against the Hannitys. And Obama may be the worst president we've ever had, but I've never heard the worst president ever talked about in this fashion, ever. So for you folks that's standing on the sideline, it's that borderline bigotry. You allow it to occur, and you stand back. And you hear the spewing, and then you want to come back. And Linda Lingle says, "I can work with the president," but she went abroad with Sarah Palin, and on and on. And you see, so I think maybe they ought to legalize marijuana so we can tolerate this craziness. We need some drugs in order to continue to deal with this thing. You know, they should legalize any inebriating drink, smoke, whatever, because this thing is crazy, man. It is really, really crazy to deal with it. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. This is Dave. I see where you're coming from. And you got these governments, here in the state of Hawaii and the city and county, and all, of course, the federal too, that are just totally unresponsive to you. They won't even return your call. They try to avoid you like a plague, even though you have the absolute facts and the truth there for them, you know. And it's I guess the idea is just to try and vote them out mm-hmm. and get other folks in there, but it's just so discouraging. You know, I just heard the new contract for the First Step shelters has been approved, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe I got the wrong information, but I mean, many of us have told them how dysfunctional that place is mm-hmm. and not doing their job, but somehow they get the contract and then we have to suffer the consequences.
Right. Yeah, so, okay.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to put my two cents in.
All righty, Dave. Thank you. And how are you doing?
Me personally, I'm fine, but my wife is still. We're doing our best. But here's another thing. Okay, let me give you a good example. Okay, last Saturday they had that Convoy of Hope. This is that bunch of Christian groups that got together. You know, they're going through the 50 states, and they pick up all these tents. They have gospel music, and they have all these little things. They have a bag of groceries, which is pretty useless if you're homeless, because most of it is you have to cook. And I was told that it was going to be they were going to have all kinds of good food. They were going to have a lunch place and everything. They had hot dogs. Well, okay. Let them eat cake. Anyway, so here I go. I'm going through all these little tables and looking at them. Maybe I can get some help. Well, I come to this one table. It's called Care Hawaii Incorporated. Well, that table, this is a group, a private contractor with the state of Hawaii, and they do they're supposed to be doing their work. Well, here's a perfect example. The gal, the psychologist, gave me a number, gave me her card. Oh, call me Monday, and I will get right to it. Monday I call. 1, 2, 3, 4 times. Voicemails. Nothing. Tuesday I call. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. About 4 times. Nothing. Finally, let's see, it was last night. I finally get, about 8 o'clock at night, this fellow calls and says, oh, yeah, we'll see what we can do. But have you called the suicide and crisis line? I said, sir, do you understand what you're saying? the suicide crisis line will not even come out to see you unless they, well, for one thing, they have to talk to the person and all that kind of stuff, you know. And, it, I mean, there again, here's a thing that says they're going to do one thing but doesn't do another thing.
Okay. Well, let me get this other caller here, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, good to hear you next week. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I said that.
Go ahead.
I was listening to Dave, and I really empathize with him. He's in a bad way and not really getting any help. But one thing he did say, you know, he said, well, maybe we could just vote him out. But I don't think you can vote him out. It's just like musical chairs. I mean, you're going to get the same type of animal back in there, you know?
Well, what are your
politicians are politicians.
We're looking for a fix. What are you proposing? We know that that part. I need some new thoughts. What are you proposing? We just don't pay the light bill?
I don't think it's not an easy thing. I mean, it's like, if I really had a solution, and it's going to sound crazy, maybe we should just have computers on everything. At least they would do it in a logical sense based on algorithms. I know that sounds really crazy. I know you're up against a hard break, and I won't take too much of your time. But it's just that it's pessimism in of the general, I should speak in first person, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
There's really nothing you can do. I mean,
well,
I think
I'm not going to sit here and preach to the world there's nothing we can do. That's not my character, and it's not in my genes.
Yes, sir.
So wouldn't advocate that. So, you know, that would abandon. I just can't even begin to think in that pattern. So, you know.
But basically, these type of people are just power hungry people who have these huge egos who don't really want to contribute anything back to society or do anything for society. I mean, you can just go down the list of people, past governors, past state governors, past mayors, and they've all had the same agenda, looking out for themselves.
Yeah. Well, okay.
So anyway, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Right. Hello. Anyway, I understand what the caller's saying. But to say to give up, and while I sit here and mumble and groan, I'm actually listening for a solution. And the problem is that, you know, just give you an example. The newspaper say that Caldwell and Hanneman are the two good choices. And then the next, you look along the side of that, or in the same paper, they're telling you how the rail is going to be more expensive and some of the things that are going wrong and the city workers are committing crimes and what have you. You see, that's the problem. We have so much business in our government affairs, and we've gone to privatize. And when a guy comes along and says, I want to privatize this, what they're saying is that we want to strip you of the rest of your government, any remnant that you would have, and then you have the union. So we are in a very precarious position. The union represents the little guy, supposedly, but the union marries up with the big guy, such as Mufi Hanneman. And then he engage in cutting your throat, but they then tell you, the union tell your membership, who to vote for, which becomes the Mufi Hannemans and the other snakes. So imagine that. So then you get big business giving Hanneman money and Martin money and the other politicians money. So you don't really have any control. And then the Supreme Court says, well, as if the screwing that you get and the wash that you really get, we're going to make it a little worse. We're going to allow companies to form PACs and give as much money as they want to. So I would say while we may sing and salute Old Glory, I think that we've lost the glory, I believe, and in that, you know, just to sit and tell you that I caught the city government dumping gallons of chemicals in the water, the first thing a citizen says is you better be careful. So in a free nation, you have to be careful when you're reporting that your government is polluting and committing illegal acts. Anyway, I'll talk to you next week, and thank you for joining me, and we'll see you. Carol at carolcox.com is the email, and that's two R's, two L's, and it's carolcox.com is the website. So thank you. I'll talk to you next week.